Yes. It's been good. I've been blessed. Y'all been blessed?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I had to think of that song, Angel Armies. How's that song title go? God of Angels Army. I don't know if you noticed at all, but a couple months ago, that song was considered the number one on the top 20 for about, I think it was 15 some weeks. I think it blew the record. And I had to wonder about that, because that song sings with so much power. It gives you so much assurance that Jesus is with you. And I know two things happened with that song. Either one thing, somebody experienced the blood of Jesus Christ and that song related to them. And the other buddy felt some kind of peace when he got against the song, even though he might not have worked against it. You know, I don't know. I just know I could see people. I run into people that I could tell they clung to that song, but they didn't know the victory yet. And it's just, I'm glad that God, you know, that I've been able to claim that victory. And I just like to share with you my story. And first of all, I just want to tell you, it's not about me, like my brother said. It's what God did through me. And even though I had to go through the pain and the hurt, I just know it's for God's glory, and it's going to be better. And I don't know the whole end, because I'm right now, I'm here. And if I live another 50 years, and praise the Lord, if I live another 1 year, praise the Lord. But I do know this, is I want to serve Him because of what He did for me. God loves us. God cares for us. And that's one thing that came out so clear to me through my struggle. Because Satan had me believing that there really was no God or Jesus, okay? But God cares for us so much. In Psalms 139, I think it starts out, he starts talking about God thinking us. He knows where we are. He knows when we're in the mountains. He knows we're in the valley. He knows if we're in the pit of hell. He knows He's with us. He is with us all the time. And then he goes down, he starts talking about, you know, God, I know you think about me. He said, I know you think about me. He said, you think about me. Your thoughts about me are more than the sands of the seashore. And that's amazing. His thoughts are more than the sands of the seashore worldwide. But he didn't say his love. His love is greater than his thoughts, because when he talks about his love, it's never an ending. And that's just really cool to me. His thoughts are as many as the seashore, but his love is unending. And that's why I choose to believe and know that God freed me. I was born in Honduras, and I was put in an orphanage. I do not know my father, and I do not know my mother. But I do know this. My mother actually put me in the orphanage because she loved me. She didn't have enough food to keep me nourished. And so I'll tell you right now, one of the things I did not struggle with growing up and with the adoption thing is I didn't struggle with rejection, because I know in my heart she put me in the orphanage because she loved me. And I was adopted around 3 years old to my parents. Phil and Jan Bile, they live in North Carolina, Pantego, North Carolina. Some of you may know, some of you may not. I was a blessed kid. I really was. But I had to think about all this stuff that we're talking about. And one of the things that I did not know until about 3 years ago is that I was carrying a curse that was put on me. And God never revealed where or how. All I know is it was obviously from the time that I was born. And I started crashing into these strongholds, this demonic warfare, when I was probably 4 years old. And I'm going to just jump into my story and how it is. My story, my life is so much a blur that, you know, if I mix it up a little bit, just bear with me. When I first started experiencing this curse that was put on my life, I was probably 4 years old. And I remember I was sleep. We had bunk beds, me and my brother. And I was sleeping on the top bunk, and he was sleeping on the bottom bunk. And I remember the first time that demon, that curse, came as a demon and tried to overtake me. And I remember I was sleeping, and through a dream or something, I can't remember what it was, I remember I woke up in just terrible fear. And as I looked up, I seen my dad. I'm not quite sure why it was my dad. It started out as my dad. I seen him, and he was roaring at me. And I could just feel this. It was just this terrible roar. It's like if you go up beside a big semi as it's taking off and you're sitting there, as it roars, you can feel that vibration. I was feeling vibration, and I could see this thing coming. And as he was getting closer, his form changed from not my dad to something terrible. I don't even know what it looked like. And all of a sudden, he came, and he charged at me. This was the first time I had a connection with it. It charged at me, and it never got to me. And I screamed out, I don't know how loud or where. And I was just, my body was just shook. I was just shaking. And one thing I'll tell you this, that demonic warfare is so very painful. And if you have never felt that, praise the Lord. But if you have felt that, you know what I'm saying. That thing is so painful. He never touched me. But he came up so close. That evil presence was so strong. I felt like somebody had taken a hammer or a sledgehammer and just beat me across my head and my body. I could almost taste blood in my mouth. I could taste iron in my teeth. That's how that evil felt when he struck me. And I was 4 years old. And I remember I seen my mom come, and she grabbed me and said, "What's wrong, Conrad?" And I grabbed her, and I was on the top bunk. I'm not quite sure how I got down. We slept on the upstairs of my dad's place. And I grabbed her, and I yanked her down the steps. And you go down the steps, down to the first floor. And underneath the steps, there was a little cubby hole. And my mom said, I grabbed her, and I totally ripped her down the steps. I'm 4 years old. I'm a skinny kid. And I ripped her down the steps and into that hallway. And I pulled her all the way back. And I was just barely able to breathe. She said I was just there. She didn't know what was wrong with me. And she prayed. But she had never been acceptable to this demonic warfare. She didn't know what it was. She thought it was a dream. And I was just shaking there. She said my eyes were just... And that was my first hit. And one thing I will tell you, I remember I went through that. And eventually, she said, all of a sudden, my eyes started focusing. Eventually, it let go of me. And she was able to pray for me. And she put me back in bed. I don't really remember too much after that. But I always remember this one thing. When daylight came, I could rest in peace. At first, okay? I could rest in peace. All right, as I started living through life, there was times in my life that I didn't get bothered with it, okay? From 4 years old all the way up to about 11 and 12, I don't remember too much. But I remember around 12 o'clock, I remember we had revival meetings, and I remember my cousin and my friend got up, and they became Christian. And prior to this, I remember I would go to bed, and I would lay in my bed, and I could feel this presence. I'm laying in the single wide bed here, okay? And the doorway to the hall is out this way. And I'm laying, I just have a bed that wide, okay? And I'm laying in my bed, but in this far corner, I seen blackness. It was like an endless blackness, and I could feel the presence. And I remember I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't talk about this stuff. And let me tell you something about this. I didn't talk about it. It sounds a lot like a girl that has been sexually abused, because she doesn't talk about it. I didn't know what to say. I thought it was normal. I thought I'm not worth anything. That's exactly how the demonic warfare will do in this case as well. And I didn't talk about it. And I remember I would lay in my bed, And the only way I could get away from that blackness in that corner is I would turn and I'd lay and I'd face the doorway because I could see the light. And the light was life. And I remember, this sounds weird, but I remember somehow I would think in my head and I would shut down all the feelings on the backside of my back and my rear and my legs. And that was how I went to sleep. That was how I could avoid that blackness. Daytime would come and I was fine. The sun shone, I was fine. And I remember I would start feeling this kind of stuff, but it was just, okay, it was there. And then from that blackness, at some point in time, I started going to bed. And right before I'd go to sleep, I'd close my eyes and I'd open them up. And I'd see these green demons hanging over me. They wouldn't say a thing. They were just hanging over me. They were just there. And and I was scared of them. I was scared. And I just didn't know what to do. And at 12 years old, you listen to stories and you start reading the Bible, okay? And I remember all of a sudden I thought about Ephesians chapter 6, okay? And it talks about the armor that we're supposed to put on to fight this battle. And I remember it talks about the helmet and the shield and the breastplate and the sword. And I remember I would do this. I would lay there in fear and I'd see these green demons just staring at me, not saying anything. And so what I'd do is I would close my eyes and I'd imaginary, whatever that word is, bring my dad into the room. I'd imagine him into the room beside me. And then I'd take the sword, I'd give it to him. I'd take the helmet and put it on his head. And I'd put everything on there. And then I would huddle underneath the blankets and I could just see. And I said, see, you see what I see? And those demons would leave. And this was at 12. And then my friends became Christians. And I just all of a sudden I knew that, you know what, maybe that would help with these demon stuff. And then through all this, I began to feel God touching my heart. Like, can I come into your heart? Can you come to me? And so I remember I went down to my mom and dad and I was starting to cry and I was like, I want to become a Christian. And of course, you know, I have loving parents, they ain't perfect, but they were like, you know, they started trying to dig around and see a little bit if it wasn't this thing called peer pressure, you know? And I knew God was wanting me to become a Christian. I knew it. And so they prayed for me and I could feel that difference. I could feel that happiness. And at that point, I had a little bit of freedom to move around, you know. I could move, but I didn't take care of those demons and stuff. And then I'd go further into my life, and okay, I want to make this thing clear. We all are born with the carnal nature, okay? We all have that. When we pop out of the womb, we're wicked. We do nothing to become wicked. And so, in times of my life, I was carnal, just like you. I was carnal. And in those times, oftentimes it seemed like that demonic warfare would stay away from me because I was just being who I was being. And I had struggles, okay? But whenever I would stand up and say, God, I want to be yours again, that's when that blackness came again. And I remember around 15, I wasn't doing too good. My uncle had a building he was taking down in Norfolk, Virginia. And I wanted to go along and take that building down with him too, because, you know, hang out with my cousins, climb across this big building on top of the roof and rip the, you know, everything off, the roof, metal off and everything. It sounds like fun. So I went with him one day, and we had a good day. During that day, there was a lot of things happened. That's another story. But during that day, I was working, and I was yanking screws out of the roof to take the metal down. And I noticed that there was, right behind me, there was a skylight, okay? I was yanking these out. I kept thinking about that. But as you start working, I was reversing these screws out, and one of these screws wouldn't come out after you reverse it. So I grabbed my hammer and yanked on it a little bit. Didn't pop. Finally, I just yanked on it, and I don't remember anything after that except until I was laying 22 feet on concrete, bleeding out of my nose and my eyes and my ear, just pretty much everywhere. And that pain was terrible. And I remember laying there. I could hear sirens coming. And I remember in the ambulance, I heard this ambulance, you know, going, the sirens going, and I could hear this air. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, somebody's hurt. I mean, the sirens, I could just hear that sirens, and the ambulance was just bumping around. I was like, boy, they are cruising. Somebody is hurt. Not until hours later did I realize it was me. I was in intensive care, and I lost 6 units of blood and pretty fast. But I do remember that day. I didn't hear this till later, but my cousins, they were really straight shook, okay? They just seen their cousin fall through, and they thought he died. My cousins drove 2 hours back to North Carolina, and as they drove home, they were talking about the day. Some of these, I'm not quite sure how it worked out because I wasn't there, but they were coming home, and they were almost home, and my older cousin said he was driving, he was at the wheel, and all of a sudden, he said he seen this terrible black thing right across the road in front of him, and he said it wasn't an animal. He said it looked like a terrible, nasty-looking horse with a chariot. And he said it just struck terror in his heart. And he drove home. He didn't say anything. He drove all up into the yard in front of the garage, and he finally looked over to his brother, and he said, did you see what I seen? His brother said, yeah. We're not quite sure, but was Satan thinking that he was possibly going to get me to be his for eternity? Because I wasn't ready at that time when I went to the skylight. Was he showing his anger and frustration that I didn't die? I don't know. But I began to start seeing these little things like this. And 15, 16, as I grew older, I began to start, he would start hitting me with depression and oppression. This depression was so deep. I mean, I remember this depression. I just remember just feeling numb. I remember feeling, I was like in a deep hole. And I don't know if any of y'all ever struggle with depression. And I cry out for you. Because that depression was so alone. And I remember I'd walk around. I remember I'd sit in church. And I could just feel this overwhelming pain of loneliness. And I'd look around and everybody's smiling, everybody's just doing their thing. But yeah, I felt like somebody took a mason jar, big one, and set it over me. And I'm sitting there at church on my pew. This mason jar is over me and I can't hardly breathe. And my heart is hurting so bad, and I just wanted somebody to know. And so I scream out. I'm screaming. And I look around for anybody to help me, and they're smiling and singing songs. And oh, that utterness of feeling. And as I grew older, I just wondered, you know, why do I feel so terrible? Terrible, terrible. 15, 16, 17, I would go through these terrible times, this darkest. Sometimes I remember I would feel like I was sitting in a well, and I could look up, and I could hear that tunnel sound would sound. You could see up there. You could see things, light. You could see this blue sky and the sun. And I couldn't reach it. And I didn't know how to climb out. One of the things that I would do when I'd go through those things, I figured it was some kind of sin, okay? So I would start praying for God, forgive me for my sin, you know? Forgive me for that I looked on that woman to lust. Forgive me that I back talked to my dad. Forgive me that I drove 56 and a 55. Forgive me that was anger at my brother. Forgive me for something that I did when I was 5 years old. Forgive me when I did something 8 years old. Forgive me when I will do something when I'm 20. Forgive me when I do something when I'm 30. And I would go and just ask for forgiveness and ask for forgiveness because I just wanted freedom. I just knew it was because I did something wrong. That's why. You just keep praying. You know, you just keep praying and you ask for forgiveness. You're a sinner. You're one big son of a gun. You're a sinner. You're nothing. You're worth nothing. Just pray. Just pray. Just keep praying, and eventually you'll get the right one. Okay? So I would just keep on praying, just hoping I'd get the right one, and it would never go away. And I remember 16, 17, 18, I would go, and then I'd pop out of these things. 18 years old, I remember exactly where around one time I was sleeping in bed. And I had a fever. And my fever was breaking, but right before it broke, I remember I was laying in bed sleeping. And all of a sudden, I felt this black presence roll into my room. If you go home and go on YouTube and watch these surfer guys that are surfing these big waves and they're getting right up in the tube right before it crashes down, that's what I seen come into my room. It came in and just overtook my room. And then I heard this voice. It said, "Hey." It said, "There's no God. You're not a Christian. There's no God. There's no Jesus." And in my sleep, I was like, "Yeah, there is." "No, there's no God." And when he said no, it had that metal tasting in my mouth again. I could, that blood in your mouth again. "No, there's no God. No." And I'm thinking, "Yes, there's a God. Yes." And no. And then all of a sudden I started feeling myself. I feel him take. He said, "You're mine. I want you. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. 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 Mine." And I could feel this coming. And I realized that all of a sudden I could hardly breathe. And I could feel him trying to kill me. I could feel him take my body. He had grabbed my heart and he was trying to just pop the blood out of it. And I felt him take me over a hole. And he started pulling me into that hole. And in that time he was saying, "It's mine, mine, mine." I realized that something was wrong here. This wasn't a dream. And I knew I needed help. And I remember opening my eyes and I'm laying there, so I try to get up to get help. And I couldn't move my hands, feet, or anything. And so I was going to say the blood of Jesus. I was thinking the blood of Jesus, but nothing was happening. And so I was going to say it. And then that's when I realized that there was something in my mouth holding my tongue down. And then I got frantic. And that terror overtook me. And I remember I was laying there and somehow I was able to move this hand. I got this hand to move. And I kept moving it and I moved it over until I grabbed this other hand. And then with all the strength I had, they had no strength whatsoever. I grabbed this hand and I pulled myself over onto my knees. And as I started to get on my knees, I started feeling just a little bit of relief. And then I said, "The blood of Jesus helped me." And just like that, that wave that rolled in, imagine that in reverse. That crest, instead of breaking, it came back into that tube and it disappeared out of my room. And I was so shocked. And I just remember I called out and said, "Mom, I need prayer." So she came and prayed over me. Why didn't I tell her what I seen? I had never told anybody what I seen. I never told anybody what the struggles I was having, the fear I was having. And so she prayed over me. And I tell you what, I will say this. I slept like a baby. I had no fear. And that always haunted me. And I remember about that time also I would get dreams. And this one dream I had, I was wherever Dwayne is, whenever 5 minutes, give me 5 minutes ahead, winter side. Okay. This dream, I would get this terrible dream come over me. And I remember I would see myself standing in this area. And in this area, there was millions of deadly poisonous snakes. And they were crawling around. And I realized that the only way to stay alive is to stay moving, stay away from these heads, okay? Because these heads are poisonous. And I remember, okay, there's a spot I can at least step for a little while. And as I stepped, I'd step on tiny baby snakes. And so I'd move my feet and I'd step somewhere else. And it started getting frantic and I couldn't do, I didn't know where to go. There was nowhere to go. There were snakes everywhere. They were all just laying around. Some started wrapping up my legs and I'd kick them off. And I couldn't do anything. And about that time, all of a sudden I would hear this terrible rumbling, just heavy, heavy rumbling sound. And I would look up in the horizon, it was blue skies, and I'd look up and I'd see these dots, all millions of them. And I would see these dots coming, I'm like, "What are they?" And as they come in closer, I realize that they were fighter jets from all nations, fighter jets, all different kinds. And they were just roaring in on top of me. Just that terrible noise. The P-50, whatever ones, you could hear those. I could hear each individual motor. I could hear the fighters. I could hear the F-15s. I could hear the Harriers, all different noises. And they were just coming down on me, and I realized they were going to bomb me. And then I'd see the chutes open, and boom, 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 they'd start dropping bombs, just millions of bombs, and explosions would happen, and I'd forget about the snakes and try to focus on, make sure I just dodge these bombs that were falling, and these bombs would fall, and then all of a sudden, this huge explosion, and then I was ended up with a third picture. And the third picture, I'd seen fire. Not no campfire fire. Not that little cute little, that little one fire you just stare into it because you keep staring and doing your hot dogs, and not that fire. It was the blackest fire I've ever seen. It was the most softer looking fire I've ever seen. It was terrible, terrible, terrible fire. And that's when it would overtake me. And I would wake up just scared to death, probably sweating or just whatever. And I remember that was a terrible dream. And I would pray, God, please help me not have bad dreams. And I'd go back to sleep. And then guess what? The day would come and I'd have sunshine again. I started going through this stuff a lot. This depression stuff would start taking me down deeper and deeper. And then he would keep coming and tell me that there was no God. He would remind me, there's no God. There's no power. Well, I knew there was power because I was getting victory. I was getting a response. Whenever I would feel that darkness, I'd feel a response. And he would continue to start to hound me. And I just fell deeper and deeper. And I could feel myself worsening. I mean, every day. Every day. And I had struggles at home. And I had people at church praying for me because I was a troubled kid. I'll tell you what, I was troubled. And I'd have people praying for me. And earlier when I was younger, I went through this rebellious time. And so I had people praying for me then. Now I'm 16, 17, 18, and I've struggled. I don't know which end is up. And they automatically says, he's still struggling. He needs God. And I'd have my uncles and family come up to me, or they would be doing something, and I would walk by, and I could see them look at me, and they're like, oh, snap, I forgot to pray for him today. Hey, Conrad, how you doing? What's he doing now, And I could just feel that feeling that, oh, shoo, feeling of me. You don't know how bad that hurts. That rejection, that they're rejecting me already. They're already signing me off as a loser, as a failure. When you don't know what my heart feeling is, you don't know. Sure, I'm a sinner, but I'm trying to do something. I just don't know how to talk. I don't know how to let my tongue loose. Did you ever ask me if my tongue's tied? Did you ever ask me what I'm really, really, really feeling? No, of course not, because you're like, oh, I forgot to pray for him today. I mean, that's really hurtful. That's really painful. And in these times of depression, I remember I was sitting at the place where my dad worked, and I was sitting there, and I was looking up in the sky. It was a beautiful night. It didn't look like it to me, but it was a beautiful night. There was stars, and there was a moon, big old moon. And as I looked at that moon, I just realized that in this battle I'm fighting, in this world that I am, I'm the only person in that world. There was no God. There was no Jesus. There was no nothing. And I just knew I had to share it. And so I went home that night and I was like, come up beside Mom, and I was like, Mom, this was the first time I ever decided to try to tell somebody that I was having problems. I said, Mom, I said, do you know that song? I still forget the title, but the song goes like this. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And I tried to tell her, I said, do you know that song? I said, and I would sing it to her, and she's like, no, I don't know that song. Hey, while that you're here, why don't you go take the trash out or something? And I was trying to do something. But she didn't know. She just pushed me right off. Not intentionally. And then I would fall back into that depression thing again. And I remember this time, one specific time that I fell back into that deepest, darkest hole. I started to feel myself die. And this time he had me really, really tight. And he started pulling me down and I could feel that life leaving me. I could feel the death. I could feel death creeping in and I knew I was going to die. I knew I was going to die. And I was standing up just fighting and that's all I could do. And at that moment that I started crumbling, I just couldn't do it anymore. I just went out. And that's when I felt the hands come down and grab me and he lifted me up. And y'all probably have that big picture or that plaque in your house, or you might have where you see that beach and you see those footprints on the beach. And it has that cute little saying about you're walking down the beach somehow and certain time is when Jesus picked you up and carried you. That was a time in my life that he picked me up and carried me. And I'm not quite sure how long of that time it was, but I remember that next morning I woke up and something had changed. Something had changed. I could see the sun again. I could see the blue skies. I could see the green leaves. I could see everything. I could feel the air. It was different. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, something's different. And I didn't question it. Believe me, I didn't question it. I just grabbed it. I didn't know what happened. And I remember I started living life, you know, and all of a sudden those uncles were like, oh snap, I forgot to pray for them. They all of a sudden like, hey, bless you, Conrad. Way to make a commitment. You're different. Bless you for making a commitment. And I'm like, we're excited about what we see in you. Well, you know, and to myself, I'm like, yeah, I am too. And they're like, way to go with that commitment. I'm like, commitment? I don't remember what you're talking about. And I'm not quite sure if this part in my life lines up with the scripture or not. But I'm not telling you a lie here. Do you think I'd be up here telling you something? I did not make any commitment or anything. This is where I know Jesus just took and carried me for a while. He just did. And I didn't do anything about it. And people were like, man, you changed. You changed, bro. I'm like, yeah, sure I'm changed. I'm just grabbing onto as hard as I can. Because I'm as lost as you are about what happened. Even though they think I made a choice. I didn't make no choice. And I just hung to that. And eventually he would put me down, but so many times God would come through. Even though I didn't believe he had power, he would come through and help me out. And I could just, you know, he was just waiting. Waiting for me to just catch on. Waiting for me to just trust him. And that's kind of changed my life. That's kind of when things started changing in some ways. And then I'd go into depression again. And one thing I would tell you is that this depression would go so, would hit me, and I had the fear of this depression. And I would be into doing, we would be having a good activity going, okay? So we might be even had a church service, we might be at a youth thing, and man, it was fun. We just had a good time. And I remember people, you know, you'd, oh, 11 o'clock, it's time to go home, and everybody'd walk out the door. Woo, that was fun, you know? Praise the Lord, that was good. Oh man, I'm tired. And everybody would go home just feeling pumped up. And I remember I'd go out the door and I'd walk out the door and I'm like, yeah, I know that was fun. But I would say under my voice, I'm like, yeah, but all hell's going to break loose in about 3 weeks. And the only way I knew hell was going to break loose in 3 or 4 weeks or sometimes 2 weeks, because I would close my eyes and I could see how many weeks ahead I would come again. And I wasn't trying to accept, hey, I just seen it. It's just what it was. That's just what he did. He would pick a couple weeks ahead of time, and if I closed my eyes, I could see it. And so when we're having a good time and like, man, that was good, I'm like, yeah, it is. Oh, hell's going to break loose later. Then I got married. Then my wife had to put up with some of this stuff, or all of this stuff. And when I was older, all through this time, one of the things I feared the most when we talked about heaven or talked about God, I didn't understand God too much. But whenever we would talk about eternity, whenever we talk about forever in heaven, I would just go nuts. there was this feeling. I could just feel my heart just it would just go. I just couldn't think forever. Okay, forever. What's forever? Like how's eternity? It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I would get this. It would attack me. And this, it would, I wouldn't say forever and ever. This thing in my head was going forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it would just overtake me. And I just remember, I couldn't breathe. I just had to get somewhere. And I would be, if I was in bed, I'd beat on the bed. I would turn around. I'd roll around. I'd just jump up and down, just trying to get free. And then I'd go again. Here, what would I do? Oh God, forgive me for my sins that I did yesterday, the sins I did the day before, and the sins that I did way back that I didn't forget, the sin I'm going to do now, the sin I might be doing when I'm 80 years old. And I would go over this and finally, when my body would wear out, is when it would go off. And I was so afraid of forever in heaven, eternity. I didn't understand that. Of course I did it. If I didn't understand the power of God and the wonderfulness of God, why would I understand eternity? Yeah? And I remember my wife, very godly, wonderful woman, she would pray. She had this desire for God, and she would pray. And every time I'd come home from work, if I sensed she was praying, this thing started rising in me. It would just come out, and I would get so aggravated at her for praying. And she was like, "Why don't you like to pray? Why don't you like when I sing?" And I'd have these excuses and stuff. But I remember just whenever she would want to connect with God, it would just come up within me. And then that anger would start coming, and I remember it would hit also. If we were ready to go on a trip, if we were going to go get in the road, it hit that one spot. Whenever we loaded up the vehicle or started loading up the vehicle to go on a good trip or this trip or a vacation, that thing would just come up for some reason. It would come when we went on trips. And I would just, and I could just feel this terrible acid and nasty yellow stuff in my body. And I knew if somebody would come and take a knife and cut me open, it would all spew out. This terrible yellow hate, anger, bitterness, whatever it was. Just nasty, devilish stuff. And okay, God, I'm sorry for being angry. I'm sorry, you know, go through that normal rigmarole prayer. You know, it's like the Catholic when they read that prayer, Mother Mary of Jesus, you know, that's what I do, you know, except I do my other way. And we began to have children, and I started having these dreams, and then all of a sudden I had that same dream again before this. The snakes, and then the bombing, and then the terrible hellfire. And the second time I had that dream, I was like, you know what, something's wrong with that. That's like deja vu. But I couldn't put my hand on it. It was like, because it was enough years in between. I was like, okay. I knew something was wrong with me. Something was wrong with me. I didn't even trust God. And my wife had to deal with this stuff. I'd get so brutal with my words that hate and anger would pop up at any given time. And I would just go, and it would just go on and on and on. And I started having these dreams. I started seeing this demonic warfare was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I made choices. One of the choices that I made was I bought a movie. First of all, I watched this movie, and it's on your papers. That movie's called Avatar. And I was terrible attracted to that Avatar movie. I remember they were talking about James Cameron. You know, let me tell you something. James Cameron is a terrible, terrible, evil man. Do some study on him. But I remember before it came out to play, I remember it was talking about this Avatar and just this movie is going to be the biggest movie of all time. And I just, okay, I want to watch this movie. And, you know, so I went and watched it. And I walked away and something in that movie resonated with my spirit, that blackness inside of me. And I was like, I couldn't get enough of it. I was like, something about that movie. And so I watched it again. And then I bought the movie. And my wife didn't like the movie. The intuition that a woman has that they talk about, believe me, that's true. She's not wearing the pants when she has intuition, I'll tell you that. But you do have to do something with the intuition of your wife. I will also tell you that as well. And she just didn't like that movie. And I just, well, I just like it. I mean, it's just, and I watched it probably 4 times. And every time I could feel myself, just reaching for whatever was there. And I just couldn't reach it. And through all this time, I started going through that depression stuff. And through all this time was when that eternity thing came back again. Forever, never, 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 never. Started coming back, and I couldn't think. And I'd go through my fits. I remember I'd do it with my wife laying there. I remember I'd do it driving on the road. I'd be driving awesome forever, ever, never, 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 never would come. And it'd just take control. And I remember just driving, and I would scream. I was in the truck all alone. I would scream out, and I'd grab my hair, and I'd just yank as hard as I could. And I was coming up to a bridge, and I contemplated hitting that bridge, totaling my truck, killing myself just to get off of that pain. And that's when I started realizing there's something really wrong with me. And that's when I finally went to my wife and said, "Hon, there's something wrong with me." I said, "I need counseling. I need counseling," but I didn't know what for. See, all of this stuff I battled inside. I never talked to anybody about the demons. I never talked to anybody about the blackness. I just did it myself, and it wasn't working out too good. And so I knew I needed counseling, and we started praying, and finally we were just like, we kind of got to this place where you think, "God, show me something. I want to be yours all the way. Work out those evil things in my life." Now I will tell you this. You're not going to be ready. If you ever decide to ask God to take over and to just show everything in your life and start working on you, you ain't going to be ready for what God's got for you. Because in that moment, I started working through things. You know, immoral thoughts, you know, all that stuff would start popping up. Things would start working out. And I just felt so open, and yet the blackness would come and I'd close to protect myself. And one particular battle that we were going to have to face, we were going to have to work with, one night, I knew it was coming. But in my subconsciousness, I avoided it. And one particular night, this is how it went. I got home from work, and my boys were starting to act up. They were just starting to show this iniquity was starting, beginning to pass on to them. And I got home, and for some reason, I was struck with terrible tiredness. I was just shot. I have work tomorrow, and I just terrible much work. Am I going to go to bed and just make the boys be quiet because I got to get terrible much sleep? It was just like I was drugged. I felt like I was an alcohol. I just got to go to bed. And I remember I went to bed, and I knew that wasn't the problem. But how do you act on the new thing, if you understand what I'm saying. I have 3 kids, so I talk kid language, so forgive me if I do what I do. Anyways, I went to bed, and I was sleeping. I fell asleep, and all of a sudden, I think my wife actually came to bed too, and all of a sudden I heard my oldest son scream out, just a blood-curdling scream, and I jolted up and I worked. I jolted and woke up, and immediately, I knew what it was. But you know what I did? "Hun, go check him out." She went over to his bed, and she was trying to work with him. And we have this intercom, baby intercom thing. And I could just hear her work, and I could hear just rustling and banging and crashing around. And I knew something was wrong. Of course I did. I knew it immediately when he screamed out. And finally, she came back to the house, back to my bed. She said, "I don't know, something's wrong. Something is wrong." And that heaviness came into my stomach, and that fear came. And I said, "Okay, well, I'll go back." "Well, of course you better get back." I knew what was wrong. And I went back to his bedroom, and I got to his bed. I'll never forget how he looked. He was laying in bed, and his eyes were huge. He was staring up, and I don't know what he was seeing, but he was seeing something. And I got down in bed, and I said, "Josh," he would look at me. I said, "Josh, you need to go to sleep." And he'd open his eyes, and he'd start wiggling. I said, "Josh, you need to hold still." And he would just, and in my heart, I felt this pain, this fear. How can you have fear and then you add some more fear and then you add some more fear and you add some more pain onto that? If you know what I'm talking about, you know exactly. If you felt that, you know what I mean. And it just come on. And I knew this is battle. And I finally, in my small way, said, God, this is battle. This is blackness here. I said, I need help with this blackness. And Josh would, and I covered him up with his blanket. And he pushed the blankets off. And, okay, don't need them off. And I was like, are you hot? And then he was like, all of a sudden he's grabbing for himself. He's grabbing something. You know, he was grabbing, just groping. And I was like, what's the matter? Are you itchy? So I'd scratch, you know, where he's, and he'd push my hand off. And I was like, what's the matter? And I was like, well, maybe, you know, he plays outside a lot. What if he came into the house and brought a toy in and there was ants, you know? So I turned the light on and I went and looked in his bed. And that's when he looked at me. He said, Dad, see, look. Kids have imaginations, right? But this was an imagination. And that's when that fear piled another big load on me again. And I began to pray. And I began to ask God. I say, God, I'm tired of this. I need help. I need help. And all of a sudden, things that I wasn't communicating with my wife, things that I wasn't working with, began to pop in my mind. And I realized God laid on my heart that in order to start getting victory, you're going to have to share with your wife. You're going to have to work these things with her. You can't have that secret life in you. And so I was like, okay, God, I'll go. I'll go and talk to my wife. I promise. But I could feel that heavy blackness just down on my room there, down on my son Josh's room. And then I'll realize that, you know, I can't get up and go talk to my wife and work through this thing because I'll leave him alone in this terrible, terrible pain and blackness. And so I prayed, I said, God, if you want me to work these things out, then you're going to have to take care of my son. Because I can't be here with my son and I can't go work this thing out with my wife. I said, if you want me to do this, take care of my son right now. And I was demanding, I know, but what do you do? You know, God, I know God knows my heart. And immediately my son fell asleep. And I got up and I started talking to my wife. And we started crying. I started just telling her things. We started working things. And I was like, hon, let's pray. Let's pray. And so, dear God, be with us, my normal prayer thing. And the normal started changing just a little bit there. But I was like, dear God, be with whatever. And just forgive me. And Lord, if there's anything in my life, and crossed my mind, I've seen that Avatar movie thing. I was like, in my subconscious, okay, I'll get rid of that tomorrow. And God, forgive me for everything that I've done. Anyways, I got done praying. I was like, hon, why don't you start praying? So she started praying, and I'm listening. Yes, God, I can feel you. Yes, Lord, yes. And she stopped praying, and she started crying. I said, why are you crying? And she said, I know you're not going to like this, but she said, that Avatar movie keeps popping up in my head. And boom! That's when I felt the devil come, the demons come into my room and they're like, oh no, you're not going to do that. And I immediately knew I had to get rid of that movie Avatar. And I staggered up, and as I sat up, I felt that blackness right into the room there. And it felt so thick. As I got off of bed, I stood up and my knees could barely stand. And I'm thinking 100 miles an hour. And I'm like, first of all, I need to go get rid of that Avatar movie. And second of all, if I fall right now, this evil is going to overtake and kill everyone in my family. And I staggered out. Okay, this is at night, right? Light brings, you can see in light. But for some reason, he got into my head that don't you dare touch that light. I was so terrified, I didn't even want to turn the light on. And I staggered out. And as I walked, I could feel, I don't know what it's like. Some people have these beads hanging in front of their doorways. Have you ever seen them? You know what I'm talking about? These beads. That's what I felt as I was walking through this blackness. I was just staggering. And I didn't know how. I just, so much fear that I was going to fall and he was going to consume me. And then I thought about Jesus. And I was like, wow, Jesus is the light of the world. And immediately I was thinking of flame. And then I thought, oh, I have my lighter in the drawer in the kitchen. Why don't I get that out? And so I staggered to the kitchen, and I was groping around, and I finally grabbed it. And I grabbed it, and I, and that little flame popped up. And I seen the presence of Jesus. I could feel the presence of Jesus. And then by that time, I was just shaking, staggering. I was like, the blood of Jesus, take me back to where that movie is. And I staggered through the house. And the farther, closer I got to the movie, the further away I got from my bedroom, the clearer I was able to feel, clearer I was able to see, and the faster I was able to walk. By that time, I got to my office, and I was just... And I was looking for it. I was like, hon, I said, where's this movie? And I'm just trying to find this movie, and I couldn't find it in my office. And she said, well, I think I put it in a bookshelf. Okay. And I staggered to the bookshelf, or where the bookshelf was, and then I realized it was in my son's bedroom. And I went over, and I was just staggering around, and I grabbed that movie, Avatar, and as I pulled it out with my lamp, with my lighter, I pulled it out. There's an image on there, and he's looking at you. That image eyes were alive. And I staggered out, and I started walking. The faster I walked towards the door, I just kept going, and I just got outside. I just threw it on the ground. By that time, I was starting to cry because I could feel that blackness start to lift because he knew this battle was not, he was not winning this one. And I just started to cry, just uncontrollable tears. And I couldn't get this stupid lighter to start up again. Probably running about 40 miles an hour out the door, probably the lighter went off. And I couldn't get it started up again. And I finally got that thing burning. And as it was burning, I repented of that. And kids, I know y'all like to look at movies, and I like to watch movies too because I'm a visual person. And I know there's hot guys on some of these movies, okay? I know there's hot girls on these. I don't care. Mind the spirit what you watch. Because somewhere, somehow, they will connect the demonic to that movie. That movie Avatar has to do with Hinduism. You know what that is? Yeah, we do. Oh, okay. They actually kill people and then sacrifice them and then dedicate their blood to their demons. And I was wanting to watch that. Well, of course. How was I supposed to know? How was I supposed to let that spirit prick me? I didn't trust God anyways. And I started working through all these things. And I remember God was there. And about this time, let's see, let me think a little bit. Yes, about this time, I was searching for something to fulfill my life, and I realized that prison ministry was something I could do, that maybe I could just contribute, okay? So I would go into prison. I remember I'd go into prison, and the first time, wasn't the first guy, but one of the first times I was in there, I went down in lockup, and I was... You know, my eyes were like looking, and I'm like trying to show the light of God in my eyes, and my heart over here. See, my body had little cubicles in it, okay? But this side of my heart, I was desired to show God, to live God, believe God. But in this other part, I had that blackness. I had that curse. And I remember I walked up to this one cell, and there's this guy looking at me, and immediately he connected with me and he knew who I was. And he started talking about drinking blood, and he wanted to drink the blood of Jesus and all this stuff. And I could just feel this just jolt in my body. And I just knew. And I was like, well, you know, I did the Mennonite thing. Well, you believe God, you know, he'll save your life. You do, you know. And I did. I'm sorry. That's just what I did. But half of me was trying to talk this. The other half felt that pain and felt that blackness. And I remember I would go home and I felt such a turmoil. This turmoil. I was like, I'm trying to save souls. But man, the key thing, I was trying to save souls. Did you get that? And that terrible feeling, I just didn't know. And it got to where I would go to prisons once a week. I would go on Tuesdays. And it got to where Mondays, my wife would start getting an attack. And we started dreading Mondays. All right, well, in this part of the story, let's go. I finally was able to start working through these things, and God would start bringing things in my life. And I had called my parents, and we were talking for hours, and I was telling them all my stories that I was going, and they never knew all this. And as we were talking, I started feeling freedom. I started feeling there was something happening here. And I remember I got done with the phone, and I was thanking God. I was like, wow, God, you're just working in my life. And I'm laying in bed, and then I heard his voice, quiet voice. It was like, Conrad, denounce a curse that was on your life. I was like, what? Who said that? You know what? You got to be kidding me. What? He said, denounce a curse that was put on your life. And I was like, okay, shoo, man, God, I mean, let me talk this out a little bit, God. I mean, you've been doing so much in my life. I can feel it. I know. So if you say denounce this curse, you're like, I'll do it. And I did. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I denounced this curse in my life. And all of a sudden, everything started leaving me. I could feel this freshness about. And when I was talking to God, I seen God, and there was a ceiling above God's head. But when I denounced that curse, I all of a sudden immediately seen that ceiling disappear. I begin to start to see the power of God. And I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I was just so excited. I called people. It was what, 12 o'clock? Hey man, I'm free, man. I'm free. And I was crying. I was on the phone. I'm free. I'm free. I'm just stumbling all over myself. I just trust me. I've been freed. And the next morning, man, I'm ready to go to work. And I jump into my truck. I was working with Ronnie by then. Ronnie's still. And I was headed to work. Yeah, you know, stick shift. And I was driving down the road. I get to the stop sign. I'm like, hey, I've been freed. I'm free. I'm saved. I'm free. I'm free. You know, I didn't know them. And I was like, driving down the road. It was like, yes, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. And I just felt it just all through my body. I just never knew how this ever felt before. I mean, my eyes are probably like this big. I mean, they're probably over my head. Look like a dragonfly, but I don't care. I was free. I was free. And I could just feel that. And God just kept working in my life. Freedom came. That depression and oppression would leave. It left. Okay. But Satan, he owned me for so long. Guess what he did? Or guess what he would continue to try to do? He'd try to come back and check on me. And be times that I'd be sleeping in bed, and all of a sudden I'd get this terrible feeling of blackness that was wanting to come down, and I would open my eyes and I'd close it, and I could see my house and I could see this cloud over my house. And so I'd begin to pray, and I'd pray, God, just be with me in the name of Jesus. I believe you, God. I believe you. And that cloud would disappear. And I remember that he would come. And this prison thing I was telling you about, these two Mondays that we always dreaded, we still dreaded Mondays. But all of a sudden, at one point in time, I was like, hun, hold on here. I said, we're beginning to accept and expect him to come and harass you on Mondays. I said, uh-uh. By the power that's invested in me, we are not going to do that anymore. And I renounced that. And that left. All right, but then the next thing that I had to work with was my boys. There was times when I would come home from prison. And it was usually on prison days. I'd come home from prison and I'd feel wore out. Happy, but wore out. And the devil was very unhappy with what had happened in my life. And I'd come home and I'd go to bed and I'd wake up and my boys would just be restless as everything. And I remember one night I was exceptionally tired. And my middle boy, Caden, was just, I could just feel it. And as I walked up to his bedroom, I could feel those hairs stand on my back because I knew the presence was there trying to come in, or it was trying to say, hey, I got this boy. That iniquity that happened, I'm here now. I'm not in with you now, but I'm over here. And I remember I'd go over there, and I still didn't know how to exactly pray, but I just knew I was free, okay? And I began to pray for my son, and I could just feel this blackness again. It was not that indwelling terror blackness, but it was there. And I could just feel it, and I just prayed, God. And all of a sudden, I was so tired. And I stood over him praying, and I finally said, God, I said, I'm sorry, for many years, raised up in this Mennonite home, I always acted like I had faith. I mean, faith like the size of a watermelon. And I acted like I had this faith, but God, you know, I only have faith so small, it's about smaller than a mustard seed. I said, God, I'm sorry for trying to act like I had faith. I said, this is all I've got. And I said, I believe you really care for me because you gave me freedom. I said, but my faith is so small. I'm so tired. I'm so wore out. I need you to show me something. Show me that you really did come. Show me, show me, show me. And I said, please hold me or do something. And then he did. I remember he picked me up and held me. It was so real, I actually looked down to see if I was standing. I was standing, but my spirit, he was holding me. And then he laid his hand on my shoulder. It was the most peaceful, most loving, most compassionate, most powerful, most soft touch I've ever felt. And I knew right then we were going to win this battle. And I remember I broke the chains that had passed on to my children. And I would pray for them to have bad dreams because they'd have bad dreams and they wanted me to pray for them for bad dreams. And that one night, as I worked through and I cut those chains, I remember I went over to my son and I started praying for him. Pray for me, you know. So I'd start praying, dear God, be with Josh, you know. And then I got to the part where I usually said, God, please keep him from bad dreams. I stopped. And I sat and listened. And I was like, if I believe God took care of this for me, then I don't need to pray that for bad dreams for him anymore. And to this day, we don't pray that anymore. God has done a terrible good work with me. I'm still learning. But the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. God cares for us. He wants us to get freedom. There's truth out there for you. There's truth out there for everyone, but we have to find out what's blocking ourselves from that truth.